Layla is invented. What Layla describes is not. It is happening across London right now. This is their story. In one of the worst off constituencies in England, mathematics graduates who want to teach cannot access the training that would put them in front of the children who need them most. The classrooms exist, the candidates exist, but the Department for Education has rationed the bursaries that would connect them, treating the government budget like a household account that must balance before anyone can learn.
I always knew I wanted to teach. Growing up in Tower Hamlets, I watched my younger brother Arif struggle with algebra in year 9. His teachers were kind, but overstretched, 40 minutes a week for 30 kids who all needed something different. When I sat with him at our kitchen table, working through quadratic equations step by step, I could see the moment when it clicked. His face would change. Mathematics stopped being this impossible wall and became a language he could speak. That feeling watching someone discover they were capable of more than they believed, that was what I wanted to spend my life doing. I graduated from Queen Mary with a first in mathematics in summer 2022. While my friends applied for graduate schemes in the city, I was already planning my route into teaching. I volunteered at the Stratford Community Centre 3 evenings a week, helping primary school children with their homework. The need was overwhelming. Kids would queue up with exercise books full of half-finished problems. And I would watch them light up when they finally understood what they were supposed to do. These were bright children who had been told they were bad at maths simply because no one had time to explain it properly. In January 2023, I applied for a PGCE in secondary mathematics at the UCL Institute of Education. It seemed straightforward. There was a teacher shortage in mathematics. The government offered training bursaries to encourage recruitment, and I had the degree and the passion. I was accepted within 6 weeks and started planning how I would reshape the way children in East London learn to love numbers. Then, in March, I received a letter that changed everything. The mathematics teacher training bursary had been reduced from £27,000 to £10,000 for London-based courses. The explanation was brief. Budget constraints from the Department for Education require us to prioritize spending. £10,000 would not cover my rent in London, let alone food and transport and course materials. I called the admissions office to ask if there had been a mistake. The administrator sounded tired, like she had been asked this question many times. "I'm sorry," she said. "There is no funding. We have to work within the allocations we're given." I applied to Teach First instead, thinking an alternative route might work. They accepted me in April and I felt hopeful again. Then in June, 3 months before the program was due to start, I received another call. Their mathematics places for East London schools had been cut by 60%. Treasury spending rules mean we have to work within a fixed allocation, the program coordinator explained. We simply cannot afford to run the numbers we planned. I asked if there were still schools that needed mathematics teachers. She said yes, dozens of them. But the funding formula did not match the need. I tried the school direct route, approaching schools in Stratford and Bow directly. The head teacher at Stratford Secondary looked genuinely frustrated when we met. "We desperately need mathematics teachers," she said. "We have been running our year 10 classes with supply teachers since February because we cannot recruit permanent staff. But we have no funding available for training bursaries." I went to 2 more schools in Bow. The story was identical. They wanted mathematics trainees. They needed mathematics teachers. They had no money to bridge the gap. By September, I was still working at the community center, watching the children I could help in the evenings, while knowing there were 30 more in every classroom who could not access the same support during the day. I used to accept what I had been told. It sounded reasonable. Everyone was saying the same thing. There was no funding. The budget had been cut. We had to live within our means. Then one evening in October, I walked past the UCL Institute of Education building in Bloomsbury. The windows were dark, but there were notices in the foyer advertising 40 unfilled places on mathematics PGCE courses. 40 places, sitting empty. While I had been told there was no money to train me to fill the very jobs that were going unfilled in the schools I had visited. I stood on the pavement staring at those notices, and something shifted in my understanding. The following week, I met my neighbor Fatima properly for the first time. She was working the evening shift at the corner shop on our street, but it turned out she had taught calculus and statistics at Damascus University for 15 years before coming to the UK. Her qualification recognition had been delayed for 8 months while different departments processed her paperwork. She was fluent in English, she knew mathematics better than most of the teachers I had met, and she was stacking shelves for minimum wage while children in our area struggled with basic algebra. "The system makes no sense," she said quietly. "The teachers are here. The students are here. Someone has decided not to connect them." That conversation changed how I heard the excuses. The government that prints every pound note and mints every coin had told me it could not find enough money to train people who were standing ready to work, to serve children who were sitting in classrooms right now, waiting to learn. The people existed, the skills existed, the buildings existed. What exactly was it that there was no money for? I started to understand that what I had experienced was not a shortage but a choice. The Treasury sets spending limits for each department as though the government has to find pounds before it can spend them, the way a household has to earn wages before it can pay bills. But a household does not issue its own currency. The government does. The limit was never the money. The limit was the political will to spend it into the places where it was needed. I am still here, still volunteering at the community center, still watching children discover that they are better at mathematics than anyone told them they were. But I understand now that my story is not unique. It is the story of every constituency where people and needs exist side by side while someone in Westminster insists the cupboard is bare. Every unfilled teacher training place, every qualified teacher stacking shelves, every child struggling with fractions in an overcrowded classroom is connected to the same decision, the choice to treat public investment like a household expense rather than a deployment of national resources. The resources were always there. The question was never whether we could afford to use them. The question was whether we chose to.
What Layla experienced has a name: logical fallacy. A false analogy is when someone compares two things that seem similar but work in completely different ways. If you said a goldfish bowl and the Pacific Ocean are the same because both contain water, you would be ignoring everything that actually matters. Depth, salinity, marine ecosystems, tidal forces. The similarity is surface level. The differences are fundamental. Every time someone told Layla there is no money, they were making the same error. They compared the government budget to a household budget because both involve pounds and spending. But the similarity is surface level. The differences are fundamental. A household must earn or borrow pounds before it can spend them. The UK government issues pounds when it spends them. It does not need to find sterling before it creates sterling. When the Department for Education says it cannot afford teacher training bursaries, it is applying household logic to a currency issuer. The austerity objection, we have to live within our means as a country, assumes the government's means are fixed, like household income. They are not. A currency issuing government's means are not fixed, like a household income. The question is never, can we afford it? But do we have the teachers and buildings? England currently has 40,000 teacher vacancies. The real constraint is recruitment and retention, not sterling. The resources existed. The people existed. The decision not to connect them was political, not financial. Stratford and Bow ranks 92 out of 543 English constituencies on the deprivation index, placing it in decile 2, making it one of England's most deprived areas according to the English Indices of Deprivation 2025 from MHCLG. The constituency has 1,182 registered charities according to the Charity Commission Register for England and Wales and has received £45.4 million in total grants according to 360 Giving Grant Nav. All sources are published at blockedbritain.co.uk. Blocked Britain tells the stories of people whose lives are shaped by the gap between what Britain needs and what its institutions choose to provide. Every character is fictional. Every situation is drawn from official statistics. Produced by Blocked Britain.